Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorized reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
Shares for Beginners. Weekend Watchlist.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist, where we take a close look at an individual company that you may wish to consider for your watchlist. It's not a recommendation to buy, but a way for you to learn how Stockopedia screens for value. Joining me today is Chris Batchelor, and we're talking Super Retail Group Limited, ASX code SUL. And I guess having super in the name kind of gives a little bit away about what they do. Tell us about them.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. It's great to be with you again today. Super Retail Group started life as Super Cheap Auto, a chain of stores that I'm sure most listeners would be familiar with. And they actually commenced back in 1972. Founded by Reg and Hazel Rowe. In fact, Reg just retired from the board the last year, so he'd been involved with the company for 50 years and still the largest shareholder. He's got about 29% of the issued shares. So if you do your maths, that's worth an awful lot of money. So they listed 20 years ago, back in 2004. They've slowly, reasonably rapidly, grown not only the super cheap auto car stores, but they also acquired BCF, the boating, camping, fishing stores, and Rebel, the sportswear store, and MacPac, which make all the sort of high-end hiking-type gear, jackets, sleeping bags, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love the quote from one of the chief executives, apparently at this year's AGM or prior to this year's AGM, where he said that BCF loves hot and dry weather and MacPac loves cold and wet. So they kind of balance each other out a little, don't they?
They do. They've got a really good portfolio of brands or stores in their business, and they are quite well spread across the seasons. BCF tends to follow, as you said, they're the summer type activities. MacPac is more the winter. And then, of course, car supplies and services, they're in demand year round. Rebel follows the sporting seasons and follows more of a typical retail pattern where you get a bit more of a boost in the pre-Christmas period. So normally the first half results are a bit better than the second half, but it's not overly marked. They're quite steady as well.
The annual general report made mention of Rebel's what they call an RCX rollout. What does that mean, and is it paying off?
Yeah, I was curious about that, so went exploring as well. And RCX stands for Rebel Customer Experience, and that basically means they're large format stores, and that means they're able to carry a wide range of products, but they also have what they call experience zones. So they'll have things like indoor basketball, indoor football, gaming consoles, so things to get people in there and engaged and shopping. And yes, it is indeed paying off, to the point where they say that these stores generate sales up to 50% higher than a regular store, and also better sales per square meter. So they've now got 15 of those stores, which is about 18% of their total stores, and they're planning to upgrade another 4 in the coming year. So yeah, that strategy does seem to be working for them.
And this is being rolled out across Rebel's stores. So they're not in every store at the moment, but this is something that's slowly being rolled out across the whole of Rebel's network, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. So they're up to 15 stores at the moment. They're looking to do another 4 in the coming year and gradually rolling out further.
So in general, the strategy across all of the stores seems to be about engagement with customers, which I guess as a retail brand owner and manager is really one of the most paramount things that they need to look at.
Yeah, indeed. And that's a lot of their emphasis is on that. They're really investing in personalization and customer loyalty. So a big part of that is their loyalty programs. They've now got over 10 million active members in those loyalty programs, which when you think about it, in a country of 25 million people, that's a pretty good take up. Rebel relaunched their loyalty program in the last year, and that's been going very well for them. One of the stats that I found interesting is 73% of all sales come from club members. And for BCF, that's actually as high as 89%. So clearly they're getting repeat customers. And for any brand, you know, that's gold. They're also really focused on their NPS scores, Net Promoter Scores, which is a measure of how well received a company is in the eyes of the customers. They're getting scores in the high 60s and 71 in fact for BCF. So yeah, a real emphasis on that side of the business.
Just my own personal experience, I was in a super cheap auto a couple of weeks ago to pick up some stuff just to do a little bit of a repair. It's incredible. People obviously are so passionate about their vehicles and the number of products that they've got that, and that are available. I mean, there's a lot of people who love their cars, aren't there?
Yes, there's a real car culture and people really get into sprucing up their cars and making their car the coolest one in the street and so forth. So yeah, it's a real market there. And then for the rest of us who our car is just a piece of transport, we still have to buy stuff and do stuff for our cars. So, you know, there's a real market for that. One of the things I found interesting actually is obviously there's a big push in the world and indeed in Australia towards EVs at the moment. At the moment, there's only 1% of the total stock of cars in Australia that are EVs, but that's expected to grow. And so they are looking at that and how can they address that. EVs have a lot less moving parts, so there's less need to buy spares of this and that. Certainly don't need a whole lot of the materials that they would sell. But there are other things, like you say, about making your car nice, spruced up, unique, etc., as well as some practical things that EV owners still use.
Yeah, the kangaroo lights across the top of your Tesla, eh?
Maybe your Rivian if they ever come here.
So total inventory as a percentage of sales across the four stores has reverted to pre-pandemic levels. So obviously this company, as many other companies, suffered under the pandemic supply chain issues. So is that helping the bottom line as we move out of that phase?
Yeah, it is. It's not a major factor for this business, but any retail business, carrying inventory is a cost for the business. So that has to be managed. And the more effectively it's managed, then that obviously impacts the bottom line. They seem to be doing a pretty good job of doing that. Obviously, you don't want to have too little inventory because you need that to attract your customers. But if you've got too much, then it sits in your warehouses or stores for too long and you know, you're paying for that. You've paid your suppliers and you're not receiving the revenue in return.
So let's dive into the financials. What's it look like? It scores very highly in Stockopedia, doesn't it?
Indeed it does. It scores a 98 and it's one of the stocks that we put in our top stocks for 2024 portfolio, what we call our NAPS portfolio. And that, of course, reflects the fact that the financials are really strong. Now a $3.8 billion company, that's both market capitalization and total sales. 20 years ago when they listed, they were only 210 million in terms of market cap and 383 in terms of sales. So they've really grown strongly over those 10 years and they have plans, or 20 years, sorry, and they have plans to keep growing. Their revenue in the last year grew by 7%. And it's interesting just to break down where that revenue is coming from. Supercheap Auto, their founding business, is still the largest contributor at 38%. But Rebel's close behind with 34% of revenue and then BCF with 22%. Their margins overall, they're earning about 11%, but that is spread across the different businesses. So Supercheap, again, is the best with 15%. BCF is a bit of a drag on margins. They're only coming in at just over 7%. So obviously some room for improvement there. And they are looking to improve that with their new super format stores. Again, a large format store where they have all sorts of experiences and so forth in those stores. Profits have been growing now for an extended period. Over 5 years, the compound annual growth rate in net profit is 15.4%. The market is expecting profits to decline in this coming year. They're currently saying by about 12%. Now, if you've been following this company, you would have noticed that earlier in this week, they actually issued a trading update and it was very positively received. Prior to that trading update, the market was expecting results to decline this year by 15%. So that's now reverted to 12%. I wouldn't be too surprised to see that shrink further.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you picking shares on gut instinct, buying on press tips or rumours? Do you struggle to find the time to keep up with the research and analysis that goes into evaluating potential stocks? Stockopedia are pleased to offer a special deal to listeners of this podcast, a 14-day free trial and a 10% discount on the first year of membership. Sign up now at y.stockopedia.com/sfb. There's no better time to access the most comprehensive, easy-to-use investing toolbox for DIY share investors. 10% off, 14-day free trial, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's y.stockopedia.com/sfb. So what's the track record of management, and do you see them executing well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking at the financials, as we discussed, any business that's consistently growing is doing something right. The CEO, Anthony Herrett, he's been in the role since February of 2019. He actually was promoted from within. So prior to that, he ran the outdoors division, BCF, etc., from 2015 to 2019. So he's got a good track record himself, consistent management team, and the results speak for themselves.
So with Reg and Hazel owning so many of the shares, is that a drag on the amount available on the market and limiting any takeover bids?
That's always a possibility. For any takeover to go through, obviously they would have to get Reg and, or Hazel's passed away now, but Reg would have to be on board with that and his family. You know, there's still 70% of the shares available in the free float, and it's a $3.8 billion company, so there's plenty of liquidity in the market. Having a strong founding shareholder like that can be a bonus for a lot of companies. In time, you would probably expect that his family will start to sell down. So that's a potential overhang on the stock, but it doesn't look like in the short term that that's really much of an issue for the business.
So do you see any risks for the business moving forward?
Well, you can never say never. There's always risks for any business, but overall, this is a very well-run business. Their margins are a bit tight, as all retailers are, but they're not excessively tight. Their balance sheet, which is where I tend to go first when I'm thinking about risk, is very conservative. They don't have any bank debt. They've got a big pile of cash, $192 million at the last report. The main risk I see right now is in the price. That's because it's rallied 35% in the last 6 months. If you look at the chart, it's steeply rising. So don't be too surprised if the price does pull back in the next little while. That said, it's only trading on a forward PE of 15.9. So whilst that's, you know, you wouldn't call that cheap, it's certainly not excessive. So I think there's a lot to like about this business, which is obviously why we rated at 98. But, you know, no business without risk. And that's my main concern, is maybe the price has just run a little too hard in the short term.
So can we just look at a metric? Because you know how I love a metric and covering a metric on the podcast. And as I was looking around about this company, I noticed enterprise value. And it was just interesting to note in the explanation, the enterprise value is based on the latest available figures for debt and cash. Can you tell us a bit more about EV and the importance for it in valuing a company?
Enterprise value is basically a way of measuring the size of a business. So typically when we talk about size, we talk about market cap and we talk about sales. But another way to look at size is what we call enterprise value. And as you described there, it's the addition of debt or net debt to the value of equity. And so what you're effectively doing is you're saying that the value of the business as a whole is the debt plus the equity. A good way to think about it is your house. You know, how much is your house worth? Well, if you've got a mortgage on it, say your house is worth in Sydney $2 million, the bank might have a $1 million mortgage on that. If someone asks you what your house is worth, you don't say it's worth $1 million, you say it's worth $2 million, right? Because that's the total value. But the actual value that you own, the equity value, is $1 million. Same with a company. The value of the shares that are traded on the market is the equity value, what we refer to as the market capitalization. But the value of the business as a whole is the value of the equity plus the debt. So if a potential acquirer was to come along and want to buy the business as a whole, they would buy the whole business, meaning they would pay for both the value of the equity and the debt, or the enterprise value. That can be significantly more if they've got a large amount of debt on their balance sheet. And then, of course, it's up to the acquirer. Do they pay off that debt? Do they continue to debt fund some of the business and so forth?
And I just thought it was interesting to observe that EV is less than market cap, the company has net cash. If EV is greater than the market cap, the company is net debt. So it's a little easy shortcut to see what the value of the company is like as compared to market capitalization.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the notion there is that if a acquirer was to acquire the business, typically what happens is it's excluding net cash, so the net cash gets paid out to the existing shareholders.
Interesting. So any final thoughts on Super Retail Group?
I think it's one, you know, we're obviously watching really closely because it's in our top stocks portfolio for 2024, and the nature of that portfolio is we don't make any changes to it, so we're keen to see how it goes over the next 12 months. And
sweating on it, huh?
Exactly. It's a household name, as you know. I'm sure a lot of listeners perhaps aren't familiar with the stock itself, but they would certainly be familiar with a lot of, probably most of those brands that they own, which is always interesting when you start studying businesses to realize just that the shops and companies that you walk into on a daily basis, you know, they're often listed businesses that you can own a stake in.
Chris Batchelor, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be with you as always.
Thanks for listening to Shares for Beginners. You can find more at sharesforbeginners.com. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player, or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.